Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. It is very clear from our gospel lesson for today that if a preacher or any prophet or any person tells you that you can find peace in this world, they are a liar and not from God. Jesus himself says, I have not come to bring peace to this world. Wait a minute, that's what we talk about at Christmas. We talk about peace coming down and all this. But the reality is, that's not what Jesus came to do. And in fact, as we're going to see in our lesson for today, God in Jesus, his word, is anything but peaceful. It's contradictory to everything that our human nature wants to believe and contradictory to logic. Therefore, it does not bring peace. Peace comes only from within ourselves as a gift from God. Peace comes only through God and his Spirit, which is alive and dwells within us. The only way the world knows peace is in knowing us who know Christ. God's word is a powerful thing. In fact, Scripture calls it a sword, and in some places it calls it a double-edged sword, piercing to the bone, piercing to the heart. God's word is indeed a powerful thing. God's word can make someone dead. God's word can make someone alive. This is the reality of God's word. And if we understand God's word rightly, we understand that every word that comes from God, and by the way, God's word is Jesus. He is the living word. That every word that comes from his mouth is both law and gospel at the same time, and therefore has the power to make one dead or alive at the same time. People don't understand this. They get confused by that. So let me give you an example of that, okay? So let's say you're doing your due diligence and you're sharing the word of God with somebody, and you go to a believer and you say to the believer the words of John 3:16, and you say to the believer, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, whoever believes in him shall not die but have everlasting life. That believer will hear a gospel and they will be made alive in that word. However, if you go to someone who is rooted in their sinfulness and is an unbeliever, and you share with him those same exact words, what do you think he or she will hear? They will hear the law, because they will hear, if I do not believe, I will not be saved. The word of God is a powerful thing, truly beyond our own understanding and comprehension. We cannot understand it. It is a sword, a double-edged sword, with law and gospel making alive and making dead. In fact, one of the beautiful things about Christianity that we talk about is that our faith is one of these faiths that we talk about. Our faith is truly this life of dying and rising in Christ. It's dying and rising for us who are believers. For those who have been baptized in Christ, we have risen out of the death of our sinfulness and we've been made a new creation. But every day we die and rise to Christ. Every time we hear God's word, we die and rise to Christ. Every time we confess our sins and repent, we die to our sinfulness and we rise with Christ. This is what Paul was talking about in our Romans lesson for today. Constantly our life is dying to our sinfulness, rising with Christ as a new creation. Over and over again, that's what we do. The old self and the old Adam has to die. The new self has to rise up as the new creation in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that new creation that is forgiven, loved, and redeemed and will live forever. That new creation rises as the old man in our lives, our sinfulness, drowns and dies daily through those baptismal waters. And this is what God's word does for you and for me as Christians. The word of God comes into our life. It gives us the law. It shows us we are sinners. It shows us that we deserve nothing but death and hell. It condemns us of that sin. We feel the guilt from the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing called contrition, not the same as shame, guilt. That guilt leads us to repent of our sins, to turn back to the Jesus who is already there with his arms open, wrapping around us, saying, I love you, I forgive you, I'm with you forever. Now let's go and do wonderful things together. This is the Christian life, and that is the power of God's word that makes us alive and makes us new and makes us living every day. This is not a peaceful process. I don't know about you, but when I sin, and I do all the time, I don't like the feeling of guilt. I just don't like it. First of all, I don't like anybody telling me you're wrong. Any of you have that problem? I do. I admit that all the time. I struggle with that. I mean, you're wrong. Society doesn't want to hear that today. You're wrong. That's not how you're supposed to live. You go out and tell the average person on the street that day, this day, and what are they going to say? Well, I'm an American. I have freedom to do whatever I want. That's what you hear all the time, isn't it? Contrary to popular belief, that isn't true. You don't. You're bound by the law of God. I don't like to hear that. Neither do you. I don't like the feeling of guilt. That feeling, because you know what? The reality is, when I start to feel guilty, then Satan kind of creeps in and he does his little thing and he starts saying, well, maybe you're just a bad person. Maybe you're not a good husband and you're not a good pastor and you're a failure. Have you heard those voices before? That's called shame. Huh? Yeah, shame. And then Satan pulls us down his path and we lose sight of our identity, which is child of God in baptism. Guilt, it's not a peaceful process. However, the wonderful thing is God is right there. And he wraps his arms around us and he says, oh, don't listen to that, Satan. He's stupid, as I always talk about. You are my child. You are my child. So therefore, you are perfect in my eyes. You are a good spouse. You are a good person. You are a good fill in the blank because you are my child and I see you as perfect. And then he restores us by the power of that same word that made us dead to our sinfulness. He restores us and gives us life. And he says, you are forgiven and you are loved. You're my child. Now let's carry on to do my work. It's a process of dying and rising, and it isn't peaceful. It can be painful at times, and that's okay. Life can be painful because the law is in this world, because that we are sinners, and because we are judged in our sinfulness as guilty, but that judgment doesn't stick because in the baptism, in Christ's death and resurrection, the final judgment is you're not guilty, you're going to heaven, but sin says you're guilty. And it's not a very pleasant thing. Because of that, because of sin, because of the consequences that still remain in this world, we're going to go through troubles. We're going to have hardship. We're going to be without peace. We're going to struggle. I mean, good grief. I mean, just look at this year already, right? COVID, all the racism problems, and now hatred between everybody, and all of these things, and then the great Saharan dust storm out there, and people are having trouble breathing. What's going to be next? I heard about these murder hornets. I'm just so like, okay, it's enough. But we live in a world of trial and chaos and tribulation. And what really, on a side note, what really shocks me is people go, wow, gee, where did this come from? And I'm like, did you ever read the Bible? You're going to have trouble. I didn't come to give you peace in this world. This world is not a peaceful place. The prince of this world, the devil, still prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And my friends, that someone is you. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour you because you believe in Jesus. He wants to devour you because it's your task to make other Christians. He wants to devour you because if he can devour you, he can get everybody around you. But he's such a dumb person because he already lost. Because that very word of God that comes to remind us that we are sinful is the very word of God that rose from the dead and says, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. The very word of God in baptism that says, I now make you my child, holy, perfect, and dearly loved. And I now make you my child so that you can live with me forever. That very same word of God is the word that comes to us in our trial and tribulation and says, I am your God. I am your fortress, your rock, and your shield. Nothing can harm you because I am with you. I am your God, and because I live, you will be with me forever. I am your God, and because I live, and because I am with you, and because I love you, all things work out for the good of those who trust in me. I am your God, and I have redeemed you and saved you. I have lifted your life out of the pit, so no matter what you go through in this world is a blip on the radar screen of eternity. I am your God, and I cause you to see that this world means nothing. This world means nothing to you because I have overcome this world and have given you my kingdom. No matter what you go through, no matter what you suffer, in my word, I make you alive to see that you are over this world. You have victory over this world. You have conquered over this world, and we together will live forever. You are not of this world, but you are of me, which transcends anything the world or society or our country can say about you. It transcends it because you shine as brightly as the light of Jesus in this world. So we carry this sword with us. We do. It's not ours to bear. It really isn't. And we don't wield its power, but we do carry it with us. We carry it with us every time we go into this world in good times and in hard times to love people and to share the word of Jesus. But be mindful of this, please. When you go into this world, you will deal with people who are broken. Big surprise, we're all broken. People who are hurting, people who are suffering, people who are lost in sinfulness. And while that word of God is a double-edged sword that we need as Christians in our life to show us why we need Jesus over and over and over, for those who are outside of the church, my brothers and sisters, they need the gospel. Be so very careful on how you share that sword. Romans 1:16 said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I get so sick to my tummy when I see people out on the streets today going to those who are lost, broken, downtrodden, apart from God, trying desperately to reach people with the law. It does nothing but drive people farther away from Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, the law does not heal. It only leads to death, eternal death. A prime example of this we see all the time today in the church, where we see Christians lovingly and trying to do the best they can, let's put the best construction on it, going and protesting and holding up signs at this place or that place that they disagree with only statements of the law. And that seeks to destroy the kingdom of God. And they don't even know the power they're wielding because God's sword is powerful. So you, because you are God's child, have been made to be like him. John says, God is love. God is love. You are love. Our world is broken, if you haven't noticed. Really, 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 really broken. And as Christians, we're confronted with a choice. We can follow the rest of the world right now where there is no peace and post our opinions and share our thoughts and all our negativity with the world as we so like to do today. Or we can be different. In the midst of a world who needs to know Jesus, we can be different. Because of the power of the sword, we can be different. We can enter this world not holding people's sins and differences against them, not even choosing to see them, but loving with an overwhelming love that has been shown to you and to me by the grace-filled God. By loving with the power of the gospel so that lives will be transformed. The world will not be transformed by the death of the sword. They will only be transformed with the life and the power of God's word. A sword that brings life, restoration, and healing. In Jesus' name, amen.